believing that God is able.
Yes, He is.
Exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works within us. So we're expecting God to do great things. We need to say it more than just today. We need to say it later on today. That tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. When you believe that God is doing and will do great things, you will be able to recognize the great things that God is doing. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Today we are going to be looking passage in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Starting at verse 26. Ephesians, 4th chapter, verse 26. Ephesians 4:26 says this: Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I've read Ephesians 4:26 and 27.
Amen.
For your hearing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to come before your presence. We declare, oh God, that you are a mighty God and a strong tower in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would allow the words that shall come forth from my mouth to find a logic place in the hearts of your people. Bless me, O God, that I may be able to hide behind your cross. That I may speak words of encouragement and inspiration in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, this is our prayer. We ask it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Today we want to talk from the subject, anger has a place. Anger has a place. And I want to, first of all, start with a little nugget. When you get angry with people, something that puts you above and those that you have influence with, a cut above, and those who you love. Not saying that you are better than them, but because you are special.
Amen.
We're special because we are people who are either learning or talking, using words of grace.
Amen.
That we are men and women, boys and girls who are walking that others may have mercy.
Amen.
So we'll talk about anger that we have with processes and some tangible issues that we have in a later part of the message. But right now, I want to talk about people. I want to read this story about John Rockefeller. Standard Oil was one of the biggest companies in the world. And on one occasion, a company executive made a bad decision. Cost the company $2 million. This was back in the 1800s, so $2 million really meant a lot. Not like it is today. Be more like $1 billion back then in the 1800s. Edward Bedford, a partner in the company, had an appointment to see Mr. Rockefeller. And when he entered Mr. Rockefeller's office, he saw him bent over a piece of paper, busily scribbling notes. And when Mr. Rockefeller finally looked up, he said to Bedford, "I suppose you heard about our loss, and I've been thinking over it, thinking about it. And before I ask the man in to discuss the matter, I've been busy making some notes." Take note here. Mr. Bedford looked across the table and he saw that Mr. Rockefeller had been scribbling on these pieces of paper. And across the top of the page was the heading, "Points in Favor of Mr. Jones." Below the heading was a long list of the man's good qualities, including notes of three occasions where Mr. Jones had made decisions that had earned the company many times more than his error had lost. Mr. Bedford said later, "I've never forgotten that lesson. In later years, when I was tempted to rip into anyone, I forced myself first to sit down and thoughtfully compile a long list of good points as I possibly could. Invariably, by the time I finished my inventory, I would see the matter in its true perspective and keep my temper under control." There is no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes any executive can make, and that is losing his temper. Anger is like every other emotion. It is an emotion that can be controlled, and in most cases, should be controlled. In a few minutes, I'll tell you why. But anger is an emotion that in most cases is readily visible. And many times it appears to be justifiable. Have you encountered a person who angrily spouted off? And then when they found out all of the facts, they were incorrect. How about a person who is always angry? You know anybody like that? Always got a frown, always angry, always spouting off, always negative. You know somebody like that? I do. How about a person who takes their anger and it takes them over the top? Now, although anger is an emotion that God has given us, it has a lot of useful purposes. But a lot of times it is used incorrectly. Think about the last time you were angry.
Were you angry about something that you could control? Or was it outside your jurisdiction? You know, we get mad about stuff that we don't have no control over. We get so angry and, you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. We need to be angry about the things that we can do something about. We'll talk about that. Perhaps you were angry at a person who did something to you or something that they did not do for you. And so while I was preparing this message, I found out some differences between being angry and being mad. You know some folks that be mad? You see, mad arises from and is indicative of or marked by mental disorder or completely unrestrained by reason and judgment. That means you just go off, unable to think in a clear or sensible way. I know we always say we mad, but in truth, we probably are angry. Angry means that you have a strong feeling of being upset or being annoyed. A lot of times we see mad people, not angry people. Folks who allow their emotions to overcome emotions that become uncontrollable. And guess what? No Christian should ever be mad. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No Christian should ever become mad because it shows that God is not in control of their lives. When you believe that God is God, you will then understand that the things that happen in your life, God knows all about. And when you understand that God knows all about it, you don't have to get mad. You might be a little angry, but you don't have to go off and be uncontrollable. Yeah. Anger, on the other hand, is controllable. We want to be people who God is in control of. Am I right about it? I'm going to preach in a minute, but I just want to get these facts out. You see, we don't want our flesh to be in control. Am I right about it? We don't want folks to say, oh, that is a man or a woman of God over there. You see what they do? That's why I don't go to church. So that's what they say. Look how they going off. And they say they're Christian. I can be a Christian too. I can go off as well as they can. Anger has its place. Our text says, be angry, but sin not. And this statement seems to be a paradox because most people who are angry do sin. Not everybody, and of course, none of you. But what does it really mean? It means that there is an acceptable method that anger is used for. And if you use it correctly, you will not sin, but you will be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So my first point is this. Unmanageable anger does have consequences. There are situations where many a man or a woman has wished that they had controlled their anger in a fit of rage and feeling like they're disrespected and being frustrated. How many times have we felt like we've been overlooked? Dealing with innate self-inadequacies, things that happened when we were young, we still haven't got over yet. Things that we're still working through, and all of a sudden this issue comes up and it brings it up and it's nice and raw. Things that are difficult for us to forget and have altered our lives. But God can make our mistakes a tool for learning.
Yes.
though it is a difficult tool, he can make it a tool for learning.
Yes.
In the story found in Exodus 2, verses 11 through 15, it's a story not only about a man moving before God's timing, but also to deal with the spiritual or the spirit of superiority. Talking about Moses. The story goes like this, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brothers. And as he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was none that could see, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Because his mama told him that he was going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was going to be somebody. He already had all of the Egyptian know-how. He could fight. He could strategize. He could work things out. He was a problem solver. And he was a Hebrew. And so, there's a few people that did see it. They must have had cell phones. They had a camera. And they, And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews drove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses says, oh my goodness, somebody did see. And he said, "I am afraid. Surely everybody knows about this." And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Look, Moses made a mistake. But God understood that Moses needed time to become the leader that he was supposed to be. Things happen in our lives that we don't really know what's going on. But God has placed us in there because he's trying to either put something in us or he's trying to take something out. In Moses' case, he was trying to take out that anger emotion so that it would not be so strong, because God already knew that the children of Israel were a difficult group of people to lead. They were hard-headed. They were stubborn, and God already knew it. But he also put in Moses meekness so that he could meet the challenge. And so he understood that Moses did have an anger issue, and he still did have an anger issue. In the Bible, it says in Numbers 20, verses 7 through 13, he talks about how Moses missed the opportunity to go into the promised land because he struck the rock twice. Now you say to yourself, "Well, he only struck it twice. What's the big deal?" But it was a big deal with God. God wanted him to strike the rock once. He struck it twice. And so he could not go into the land of milk and honey. But I want you to know that though Moses was the meekest of all men, he had unmanageable anger, prolonging his journey by 40 years and keeping himself out of the promised land. But God is a redeemer of time. You can fool around and you can miss God the first time, but he is merciful and gracious, and a lot of times he'll come around a second time so that you can get a piece of the rock. So that's unmanageable. That's a consequence of being unmanageable. Missing out on what God has for you. No matter how great Moses was, no matter what God had done, amen, Moses missed out on the best part. And that was to go into the house, into the land of milk and honey. He worked 40 years. He worked 80 years. He worked 120 years. 40 years in Egypt. 40 years on the backside of the mountain. 40 years crossing over through the wilderness. And he still was not able to get into the land of milk and honey because of his unmanageable anger. My second point is, though, be willing to listen when anger becomes unmanageable. God has given us anger to improve that which surrounds us and also to improve us. The story about Nabal's wife, Abigail, a beautiful woman who averted King David's anger, and in the midst of all this, saved his kingdomship even before he even became king. The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And this is a story where many of us had to endure. We did something for somebody. Anybody done stuff for somebody? And in return was rejected when the person couldn't meet our most important need. We did something for them, and then when we went to them and asked them for some help, they said, "No! Get out of my face. Who do you think you are?" And then because of the way that they rejected us, it became anger. "Oh yeah, we're going to get you back." Somebody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I don't hear nothing. Amen. Now I'm going to get your back. And then the anger gets so much that it becomes unchecked. And it can erase all the hard work that we have done in the past with one swift anger moment of action. In this story, David asked for provisions from Nabal. Unbeknownst to Nabal, Nabal didn't care. David has been protecting his property and his goods. David believing that because he had sacrificed his life and the lives of his men, put them in jeopardy, particularly since Saul was chasing him around the country, trying to take his life. But Nabal didn't see it that way. David, a man of war, was prepared and was en route to kill Nabal. Y'all got to look at that story. When y'all go home, look at y'all know what I'm talking about. When y'all go home, y'all pull up 1 Samuel chapter 25 and you can get that whole story. If he had killed Nabal, this would have ruined David's kingdomship. Even with the noble words of long live the king, "I could have killed you, king, if I wanted to. But because you were of the Lord's army, I would not do it." Nabal's wife, Abigail, took victuals and other goods that David needed to avenge her husband's behavior. When David received these things, he was satisfied and returned home. His madness now turned into manageable anger. Let me read the story real quick for you. At the very end of what happened. So David said to Abigail, this is verses 32 to 35, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed, for for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. And then David accepted her hand when she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." It's good, my brothers and sisters, to have people who are around you to speak reasonable, to save us from ourselves. You know somebody around you who always has a word for you. When your anger becomes unmanageable, when you're stepping in the wrong place, when you're going down the wrong pathway, when you feel like you're going down the right way and somebody steps to you and says, "Wait a minute, my brother, wait a minute, my sister, you don't want to go down that pathway, but turn around and go back." It's good to have someone who can keep you from being unmanageable. My final point is this: anger has a purpose. I promised you I was going to get to this. God uses manageable anger to improve us. You say, "What? What are you talking about, Pastor? Have you ever said to yourself, 'I will never let that happen to me again'? Been in a situation and somebody did something and you said to yourself, 'Never again will this happen to me. I will not allow that to happen. I will never put myself in that position again.'" Come on, touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "I'm never going to allow myself to be in that position again. I will not give them another opportunity to pass me over." How many of us have been working on a job and it seems like everybody else is getting a promotion, but me, I've been working hard, but you know what? I've been passed over. And you know what? I say to myself, because I'm mad, I'm angry. You know what? I'm going to work to make sure that I'm the best that I can be. When you begin, praise God, to allow the power of anger to begin to propel you in a direction that God has called you in. When you allow the power of anger to turn your life around. When you allow the power of anger to say to yourself that I'm not going to find myself in this position again. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make my life able to come against the standard, and then I will win against this foe. The Bible says in Matthew 21:12-15, "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple." I don't know about you, but the Bible declares that the temple was to be a house of prayer. It's a place, praise God, where you and God can talk to one another. When you can let God understand those things that are on your heart, and that you can declare unto God that, praise God, "God, you are able to do exceeding and abundantly." I want you to know, praise God, that when Jesus walked into the temple and he saw all the work going on, he said, "Wait a minute, This is not a place for money changers. This is not a place of business. This is not a place where you sell doves. Sell your doves on the outside. Take your bullocks on the outside. Not in the temple. The Bible declares that, amen, when he, amen, cast out the money changers. Now, I want you to know that this was right on the heels of him triumphantly walking into Jerusalem. That we call that Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, the Bible declares that they laid palms on the ground. And they began to sing Hosanna. God save us. And as he praised God, they came through the gates. And all the people were praising God. Amen. He walked into the temple and he declared, wait a minute. This is God's house. This is not going to take place. We're not going to allow this to happen. That's anger, amen, that is given by God. Oh, wait a minute. Things are not going to be this way no more. We're going to change this right now. I don't hear nobody saying nothing, but that's all right. God is saying that, amen, just when it can't happen in the temple of God, you've got to, amen, understand that in the house of God, there are only godly things that are going to take place. And when he cast out all of the money changers, the Bible says, and then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that in the temple there was no room for those who wanted to pray? There was no room for those who wanted to be healed. There was no room for those who wanted to come and seek God. The Bible declares that after he cleared everything out, then the people came in. And when they came in, they were healed. And the children crying in the temple said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, I want you to know that the Pharisees weren't happy about this. Wait a minute. When you start messing with the world's money, they ain't happy about it. When you start speaking against some of the principles that the world uses, they're not happy about it. And look what it says here. And when he cleansed the temple, he set the tone for the activities of God. And for the remainder of the week, the Pharisees were seeking a time in which they could take Jesus and crucify him. See, before, the business people could not come in. But when Jesus came through, it was a throwback. You remember when they were out on the wilderness, and the Spirit of God filled the house. Nobody could come in. Amen. Because God was in the house. But when Jesus showed up in the temple, Jesus came in and cleared it all out so that the people could come in and receive the blessings that were due to them. I just want to say something here, praise God, is that if you can picture in your mind Jesus
the presenter of good things, living with graciousness, with mercy and love, and sincerity of God. In his anger, kicked out money changers and said, "This is the house of the Lord. Do not come back. This is the proper example of utilizing anger, changing things for the good, changing things so that you can achieve." And so when you see somebody going off, somebody acting like they're mad, particularly if they're a Christian, go up to them and speak some soft words into their ears and let them know, "My brother, my sister, this is not the way you display your anger. This is not the way that you ought to be representing God. Because God has a better way." And so anger has a place. Keep that in mind this week as you go along. I'm certainly going to be keeping it. Amen. Because you know what? It comes first to the preacher. You know, I don't like preaching these subjects, but amen. Somebody's got to preach it. And I'm the preacher. Amen. If I don't preach it, I'm not going to get preached.
Amen.
And so, praise God, I just want to know that anger has a place. Amen. God bless you.